Tom Green Builder has arrived. He is in the studio with me, our lovely guest. Hey, Tom.
Good afternoon.
Master Builder. So, Tom, tell me how you got into the building trade.
Well, effectively, I grew up on a building site. My father was in the automotive industry, and as a hobby, he built and did all different houses up. So I grew up on a building site, effectively. Got the love of building and creating things to start off with, and took it from there, really. Went and got my tools in my toolbox of life in terms of qualifications and experience, and here I am.
And so you've been basically in the building trade all your life?
Basically, yes.
So you build houses, new houses, you renovate houses, you can do everything and anything?
Pretty much anything, from project management on large-scale construction projects down to small refurbishments. And everything is in between, yeah.
Do you specialise in anything yourself? I mean, can you do a bit of plumbing, a bit of electrics, a bit of this, a bit of that?
I'm quite proud to say that if I was left to my own devices, and which would be nice sometimes, I could build a house from start to finish on my own, from sitting on a digger pulling foundations to tiling the walls in bathrooms and pretty much anything else in between. So, yes.
You're a good man to know, Tom. Thank you so much for coming in and joining us on Cambridge 105. Now, I have been asking people to call in with their questions, but I've got a couple of questions of my own before we get to those.
Go for it.
Because... okay, so I live in a 1970s house that it's very tired. It needs work doing to it, work that we've been meaning to do for a long, long time. And we finally are getting round to it. I'm hoping in March the builders are coming in. And the process has been about a year in the planning to get this.
Yes.
It surprised me, I'll be honest, because I had no idea, obviously. So originally it's finding an architect that you like, and that has the same vision as you. So the architect's plans take forever. There's obviously, we're in a conservation area, so the trees are an issue. Again, you have to have surveys done, you have to pay for... Oh, it's never
ending.
So
have you got any preservation orders in any of
those? Luckily, the one tree we want to remove is just an old...
Okay,
it's fine, it's fine. Yeah, that is lucky, because that can go up to £20,000, I heard, to remove. I mean, if you want to seriously remove a lot of trees and they're certain trees, I mean, that can cost big bucks, which is something you might not even think about. So we've had trial pits dug to look at the foundations to see if the house is going to still stand once they start knocking down walls, which is also quite scary because there's huge holes.
And the children love it, I'm sure.
Yeah, they want to have a good look down there. Great. Health and safety. The structural engineer, you have to pay for. Obviously, the structural engineer does his job because there's steels going in.
Correct.
To support, because we're knocking out walls. We want, obviously, what everyone wants.
And then building regs.
And then they have to come and check up on the build when it's happening, and you pay for that. And then there was asbestos needed to be checked for. There was just like this never-ending list of stuff. And obviously, the house, our house, I think, is not really... bits have been done to it before, but you know, it's like... You do one thing, and then you realise loads of other things need doing. So you discover, once you take back something, you discover more and more problems, don't you?
Yeah, quite. Which is, it always opens up a can of worms whenever you try to do anything in your house, whether it be trying to repaper your walls or something like that.
It's scary.
It ends up with your plaster falling off your walls. So, yeah, I've come across that myself quite a lot.
It is scary, and the expense as well. I mean, obviously, you pay for the architect and you hope that by that point there shouldn't be too many problems. But then, obviously, you've got the building work. And my builders are saying to me that everything has gone up in price. Everything has doubled because of Brexit. So cost of materials, i.e. steel, screws, everything. Is this true, or are they actually trying to diddle me? Is that a word? Diddle? Diddle me.
There is quite a lot of health and safety compliance and obligations that are involved in the construction industry now. A lot has changed in the last couple of years, so it adds quite a lot of responsibility and onus sometimes onto builders to take on the role under CDM, construction design management. That is, no, it's taken a while to filter down to the builder on the street. I don't probably know. A lot of them probably don't even know they're not meeting the legislation. There's a lot of people out there doing training. I'd certainly recommend anyone to go on to the HSE website, Health and Safety Executive, if they're unsure, for a bit of clarification. But certainly that has pushed up a lot of costs for builders. And again, it's quite a scary and daunting thing for some of the one-man band and father and son type builders out there that are suddenly thrown into having to comply to health and safety legislation whilst trying to, you know, meet people's aspirations and what they want to create in their house. So, yeah, it's very difficult.
So are you seeing a trend? Obviously, everyone wants the big kitchen diner now, which is what we're aiming for, but we're doing a double height, obviously, another bedroom.
Yeah, lots of steels in construction now, yeah. Yeah, and again, when you're talking structural alteration, inevitably it pushes a lot of the costs up as well. There's a lot of propping. There's an awful lot of disruption and dust in the house. One of your questions here from one of your
listeners. Yeah, Olivia has
commented about dust, and unfortunately, you can't get away from it. And there are some things you can employ to try and mitigate the dust. And again, the HSE is another good portal for that.
Yeah, I'm dreading that actually. I'm dreading the garden being churned up, the mud, the dirt, and the dust. And I've got to live with all this. I've got to live with no kitchen. Anyway, I won't stress about it now. But you know, even the house isn't insulated. I mean, even all that has now got to comply with standards that perhaps when the house was built, they weren't there. You know, the insulation.
Correct, yes, the new element of the construction will have to comply to the latest building control. That's obvious, but yeah, it's the rest of your house. Then it's whether that creates a warm enough envelope to retain heat going forward as an impact of the new construction. So yeah, there's a lot of things to bear in mind.
So are people putting in underfloor heating, is that what they're doing? I mean, are there certain things that you can do to your house? Obviously, going forward, we all want to be a bit greener. We all want to keep our heating costs down. And, you know, there's a lot of options out there, isn't there?
Obviously, the easiest and cheapest option for a lot of homeowners is to insulate your loft. Inevitably, the heat rises, and that's where a lot of the heat is lost. Secondary to that is looking at your windows and apertures and things that could create cold bridges. So, yeah, you certainly need to have a look at those.
Because I have a conservatory, and I think that just lets out heat.
They're money pits for heat loss, definitely.
Yeah. So we have had Olivia, who's been listening, and she's emailed in with a couple of questions. She says she's got two house questions for you, Tom.
Okay.
Can you answer this? So she says, a while ago, we finally got around to getting rid of the carpets upstairs. The bathroom already had bamboo laminate flooring put in by the previous owners, but there was a threshold between the carpet and the flooring there. When we put in the wooden laminate flooring on the landing, we took out the metal threshold and put in a prettier wood laminate one, except we hadn't thought about the fact that moving the threshold will allow the existing laminate in the bathroom to move. Now it's opened up and in some places even unclicked. What can we do to click it back together again and keep the wooden threshold? Is there some kind of filler we can put alongside the underneath part of the threshold so the planks can't move?
I've come across this quite a lot. Laminate flooring for me personally is a bit of a cheap option, and if she's just moved into the house, they may have put it down to cover up something that may be happening underneath. Laminate floor inherently, you should have a gap around it to allow for expansion. And there should be either a cork or some filler around the perimeter of the room to allow for that movement. So filling it with something solid could only make the issue possibly worse, in that the floor could actually start lifting on the joints if it's wedged in too tight. So there should always be a perimeter gap that's filled with either a foam or a cork filler. So, yeah, I'd say there's something going on underneath, possibly maybe some damp issues, or, you know, the sub base, you know, inevitably needs to be looked at and need to be ensure it's completely flat and dry before you do anything like that. So, yeah.
Okay, and she's got another question regarding stairs. It's the last area where we haven't yet taken up the old carpet. It looks like underneath the wood is part bare, part painted. We would probably paint it, but presumably we would need to sand it first. However, we have two cats and I have asthma, so I'm quite concerned about the whole thing. I'm worried, obviously, about the dust in the house. Could we not sand, or is there a clever way to contain the dust from sanding? And when we paint, we need to exclude the cats while it dries. But the bathroom upstairs contains the only toilet in the house, so we would probably have to paint alternate treads. So we could still get up the stairs throughout the day. It is difficult, isn't it, when you're living in the house and you're trying to do stuff, and obviously you've got pets. I mean, that is part of, you know, many people's homes. So,
well, it sounds like Olivia's trying to employ a little bit of common sense. Obviously, painting every other tread, yeah, you've got to try and straddle those, getting up and down the stairs. Whether your animals might do that is another thing, so you could have some paw prints here and there. And regarding the dust, yeah, whenever you're going to sand, you're going to get dust. Obviously, some of the tools now have quite clever adaptions onto hoovers, home hoovers, so you can attach them to that and actually vacuum the dust as you're sanding. But more cleverly, there's quite a lot of products out there, chemically based, that you can apply to paints that would bring them off, bring the paint off from the wood. But again, yeah, you do need to sand and prepare any wood. Again, you could use a high build primer, so you wouldn't even need to sand, and then go from there, really. But yeah, I'd look at go down the chemical route if you do not want to do dust through asthma, etc.
I mean, obviously, I'm rubbish at DIY, so is my husband. So we always get someone in that can. You would always recommend that, wouldn't you? Just getting the experts in and getting someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, 100% you need an expert to start with, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, cost-wise, obviously, builders vary. It's hard, isn't it, finding a good builder, I think.
It
you
is,
have to
and
go
the
by
problem
recommendations.
Is, you know, England in general, in our country, it's all about cost and keeping it down to a bare minimum. Inevitably, that then in the mindset of some builders out there, will look to cut corners and try and do it as quickly and most efficiently as possible because they are under price pressures. The thing to be clear from the start with anyone is communication is key. And not only from that, you can build good trust with any tradesperson or, you know, a client on the other end of the spectrum. So, you know, communication's the key. You need to convey to people what the reality is of the job and not just take anything on and say yes to everything when you know that you might not be able to meet their aspirations.
I mean, that's the funny thing, isn't it? Obviously, I don't want to, you know, say this in front of you, really, but for everybody says if you have building work, it's going to take longer and it's going to cost more. I mean, I know there obviously are things that can't be helped. I mean, as a builder, what are your nightmare sentences that you hear people mutter? I mean, how can they help a builder? What
from a tradesman point of view or from a client's perspective? Well, I'd say that'll be all right is probably something that a lot of tradespeople say and... yeah, it's like anything in society as well. You know, the minorities ruin it for the rest of the construction industry. There are a lot of good tradespeople out there. You know, I work on recommendation, and if any friends or family can recommend any people locally, neighbours, etc., I'd go with that route to start off with. It's a pretty good way to go.
Well, Tom, I'm going to do some travel now, and then I'm going to come back and talk to you a bit more about Cambridge's housing market in general, houses, whether it's best to build or renovate or knock down, and hopefully we can give some people more advice. So Tom Green, builder, is here with us today on Cambridge 105, and we've been talking a bit about doing up your own house, but what about the housing market in Cambridge in general, Tom? What do you make of it? Because it is expensive.
It is expensive, and it's clearly a very buoyant market, especially with the likes of some of the international and, you know, world's biggest companies locating. So there is a massive demand for housing in and around Cambridgeshire. Obviously, renovation is a very daunting prospect, still very expensive route to go. But again, trying to find the dream building plot again, there's a lot of people chasing the land. Inevitably, it is the best route to go, value for money wise. And, you know, whatever you're going to spend on it, it's more than not, by rule of thumb, going to double in value at the end product. It's always the best route to go. You get exactly what you want at the end of it. It's finding those plots of land.
Yeah, I mean, I did read that the government are looking into selling off more greenbelt land because obviously they're desperate for more housing. Mm. People, obviously, when you build a house, how much roughly does it cost to build a house from scratch? Give me a ballpark.
Ballpark figure, if you went on the calculus of something like £1,500 to £2,000 a square metre, you wouldn't go too far wrong. That would be sort of a medium spec sort of area. Again, you can upscale or downscale if you want to self-build yourself. There's a lot of building material suppliers, merchants out there who are more than happy to support self-builders. And obviously, you can save a bit on your VAT implications as well from a new build perspective. So that usually brings either a zero rate or 5% rate of VAT. Whereas anything else, if you're doing refurbishments and whatnot, you're expected to find another 20% for the HMRC.
That seems unfair.
Personally, I think it is because obviously we all work very hard and we all pay our taxes. And, you know, if you've done well and want to do a little bit of work on your home, you're expected to cover another 20% for the privilege. So, yeah.
So obviously there's a lot of new builds in Cambridge. I mean, there's masses of houses going up everywhere, but they're not even affordable. I don't see how people can afford this housing. It doesn't seem to me... I mean, you're still
again, there's quite a lot of international influence here with a lot of students coming from overseas as well. A lot of their parents are buying to invest property in and around Cambridge. It's really, really difficult. I feel for a lot of people.
So do you think it will stay? I mean, with Brexit and everything, you don't think there'll be any kind of... You think it will just... Cambridge seems to just keep going?
My grandfather always famously said, you know, bricks and mortar, and you can't go wrong. It's the trend is always upwards. It may plateau out for a short while, But inevitably, there's never a great time to get on the property market. If you find the opportunity, you've just got to get your foot on the ladder and swallow the pill and go for it, unfortunately. Because the sooner you do it, obviously, the sooner the value goes up over a period of time. And, yeah, you'll hopefully be quids in long term. It's always a long term view.
And do you think it's still a good bet to find a house that is run down, that needs doing up? I mean, is that a good way to get on the ladder?
Value-wise, probably is, you know, more affordable to buy it. Clearly need to be very careful about how involved that process is going to be. So obviously you need to get surveys and whatnot, but the roof and foundations and actual structure, obviously keeping the wet out and ensuring your walls aren't going to be subsiding and whatnot are a key. Once you have that as a foundation to refurb, then yeah, it's still a good option for people out there who want to make it their own. So yeah, I'll definitely recommend people looking into it. But yeah, go in with your eyes open that it's going to be a lot of hard work, a lot of dust, unfortunately, and a lot of expense. But you know, you can.
Live in it forever, hopefully.
Pretty much, make it, and
like you say, make it how you want it, because
exactly,
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's we all love our homes, and we all love, you know, we all have definite ideas and styles, and
yeah, the beauty with some of the old places as well, you know, you can find some gems. So you can go into some places and lift a bit of carpet and underlay and find a beautiful terracotta floor or something. So you know, you can meld in the old character of the building in with the new refurbishment works that you do. So, yeah, it's very nice.
Pesney, what do you prefer, old or new?
I prefer old. I'm an old school guy in a modern skin body. But, yeah, it's... the old building techniques and some of the old character buildings with the oak parquet flooring and various things like that and some of the feature things, they're just built to last, and you know they'll see us all out. You know, they're really good quality. Some of the modern floorings that are put into modern constructions are pretty poor, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, if you were recommending a type of flooring, what would you recommend? Is that hard to say?
Well,
what about kitchen? Because you want a hard wearing,
water resistant. If you're doing a timber floor, it is sort of a bare minimum, really. But yeah, if you can afford to go to it, then either stone or a very hard wood like oak or mahogany, something of that nature. But again, that comes with a cost, unfortunately.
What do you make of this concrete? Because the people are using concrete a lot for worktops and floors, especially in the kitchen.
Yeah, screeded concrete and liquid screeds, they're coming on and then polishing them up. There's some clever things that are being employed now where you can add other aggregate into it and polish it up. It's a very cost-effective way to do it. Again, it's finding the right people to do that. But it is an expanding market, and it looks very effective for the money.
And also new things are coming in with cladding. The cladding seems to be a big thing now. People clad their houses, don't they?
It is. The only thing, again, is meeting the expectation of how much maintenance that's going to involve. So, you do need to be careful when you're selecting the material, because sometimes it does come with a high maintenance cost.
Mm. I mean, you obviously do up houses and see houses all the time. Are there any other tips that you would give, you know, if you're constructing something that you think good tips?
Damp is quite a big issue. You know, you need to just get in there and put a damp meter in there, or get a specialist to go and have a look at it with you. Again, you can find them on various internet searches. But as long as you're structurally sound, then you know anything is doable. It just all comes at a cost.
So what adds value onto your home? Is it doing the kitchen, the bathroom, the outside, you know, the curb appeal, or the drive? You know, what is it that really sort of, if you're going to spend something on your home, what's the best thing to do, or making it?
There's so many different elements, Liz. I mean, I guess a lot of it now is kitchens, open diners. You know, having that lovely open space and living space that you can spend most of your day in is quite important for people. You know, big open floor plans also are something that are quite popular. But again, within a period property, if you're doing a refurb, it's finding that happy medium where you're not completely destroying the character or also making it too expensive a proposition to actually achieve it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could go way over budget. That's my worry. That's what I'm going to do.
You can quite easily fall into that pitfall. Yeah. And that's the problem. But at the same time, you know, that's why it's important to get the right people in place, especially, you know, the likes of going through architects and structural engineers. So you pretty much know what you're in for from the very get-go.
I'm also obsessed with wood burners. I mean, I know garages are pretty defunct now. People tend to sort of convert their garages because you don't really park your car in it anymore, do you?
Quite.
And you dump stuff in that you probably don't need to.
Yeah, we've done quite a lot of garage conversions, especially with people who've got some frontage in front of their houses that can have drives and whatnot. That's another very cheap and affordable option of creating living space inside your home. Definitely, for sure, yeah.
Mm. I mean, my bedroom is mouldy, Tom. I'll be honest with you. There's mould.
Nice.
It's probably really unhealthy to sleep in there.
A lot of the time it's ventilation, funnily enough.
Is it?
Yeah.
So open windows a bit more and stuff. What
open
do you mean?
Well, a lot of windows in new builds now should have trickle vents on to help for airflow in buildings. Usually that's a problem, but, you know, again, the slightly more worrying prospect is there could be some damp in there somewhere. So, again, you need to have a specialist in to have a look at that.
Because I've got quite big windows, and obviously it's on an outside...
Yeah, it could even be something as simple as the sealant around the window frame. So, you know, you could get a ladder up, have a look. No, get your husband up there to check the silicon out and the situation up there. You can send him up with a silicon gun.
Yeah, that won't be happening. And so loft space, do people still have loft space? Do storage is a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, there's still quite a lot of opportunities for loft conversions. Again, with modern construction building methods, a lot of the trusses are pre-made now, so it makes it a bit more of a trickier proposition to do. But certainly in some of the more of the older houses, such as in the middle of Cambridge, there's definite opportunities to convert loft areas, yeah.
And if you were thinking about moving, weighing up the cost of a move, obviously, against doing up your own home...
Yeah, that's always a really difficult one,
isn't it?
To weigh up, definitely. But... You know, it all comes down to floor area and whether you've got the space within your existing footprint of land to expand and do what you want to do. Inevitably, if you're curtailed by that, then you need to look elsewhere. There's still quite a lot of good opportunities around, and I personally find it quite frustrating sometimes. You drive around and see a lot of boarded up houses. You know, that's possibly a completely untapped market that people could be getting in, but again, some of it's commercial or owned by the councils and they're reluctant to let it go onto the open market. So, you know, there's a lot of pitfalls in the construction industry, unfortunately.
That seems. And what about building? Do you think they're letting obviously the council have to decide whether you're allowed to do what you want to do? I mean, do you think they're quite...
They're quite good. You know, it's like anything in life. If you're proactive with what you're doing and ask the question, then, you know, they can always say no, but... If you don't ask, you don't know. So, yeah, I'd definitely be proactive with any communication with local authority.
And the architects, I mean, how do you find architects' plans? I mean, are they generally... Obviously, that's what you work for, isn't it?
There's always good, bad and indifferent. You know, as a builder, I'm looking for more of the structural side of elements of it to ensure that it's going to be a cost-effective for the end user, you know. So sometimes there's quite a few architects out there that put some pretty wild expectations and designs out there, which are very expensive for customers to realise. So it's always good having a builder's perspective when you're having a look at, you know, getting some drawings made to put into for a planning application, just to ensure that it's going to be a cost-effective way forward for you.
Well, Tom, thanks so much for coming in. Just one last question before I let you go. It has been really interesting. I find this, I find the whole housing thing really nice to talk to someone who knows what they're talking about. But you,
supposedly.
Yeah, what do you think of the future of houses? I mean, where are we going? Are we going for, you know, really eco houses? What do you think is going to happen?
I think eco houses will come. There's going to be a lot of more prefabrication involved in terms of actually creating pods in factories and having them going out on site. Again, they're very efficient, they're very clean, they're a very nice modern way to live. But for me, you know, it loses a bit of the character. And ultimately, if you do want to make any alterations in timber-made homes, they sometimes can be nigh on impossible. So you just need to be careful of that pitfall.
Mm. Well, I think it's a shame that we keep building on land and that we're losing sort of nice green around us.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of grey and brown land field sites around, you know, redundant industrial estates and the like that could easily be, you know, flattened and put sustainable housing on and so forth. So yeah, I agree. There's a lot of political Oh, well, let's not get into the politics of it too much. But green belts, it's sad to see the green belt go, but inevitably the human population is only going in one direction. So, you know, sometimes we're not, that's the only option left.
Yeah, there's a lot of us, and obviously it's a small country, and you're going to be busy forever. I imagine your work never dries up. You're constantly, constantly working.
Yeah, that's quite. And if you're good at what you do, then you should really be busy. But again, the only thing I can recommend is for people out there is that they work on recommendation, and you know, ask around. You know, ask friends, neighbours, family members for the recommendation for any tradespeople, and you won't go far wrong.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Tom, for coming in today. It's lovely talking to you.
You're very welcome.